You're listening to SBS News.
Many Australians pause for a minute's silence at 11 a.m. on November 11, which is the anniversary of the exact moment the First World War ended after 4 years of fighting. It was the first modern world conflict and it involved more than 70 million people. It's estimated that between 9 and 13 million people were killed and about a third of them have no known grave. Dr. Tom Rogers from the Australian War Memorial says the first anniversary of Armistice Day was considered a funeral service for those families that never had one.
The importance of Remembrance Day in the period immediately after the First World War was that it allowed families who'd lost a loved one to reflect and to, in a sense, have a funeral service that they never got to experience. Because, of course, all of the soldiers, except for two, who died in the First World War, the Australian soldiers, were not returned to Australia.
After the Second World War, the Australian and British governments changed the name from Armistice Day to Remembrance Day. In the years since, Remembrance Day has evolved from a moment to remember the dead to a commemoration of all servicemen and women, including the living. Dr. Tom Rogers explains.
It has evolved to do that, and I think it's done that following society's broader recognition that when people come back from war zones, having survived and even without physical wounds in some cases, they can still be very badly affected by their service. And so that's something that I think the public is becoming more aware of, and as a result, the remembrance has always or is following that public awareness. I think Remembrance Day has always been a day that has been led by members of the public. It isn't something that has been imposed by the government or anything like that. It has always been something that has been led by members of the public from 1919 onwards.
49-year-old Brad Copeland is a surviving serviceman. He enlisted in the Australian Army at the age of 17 and served for 24 years before his forced medical retirement. 4 month stints in the Solomon Islands and then Afghanistan left the retired warrant officer with post-traumatic stress disorder. Mr. Copeland says the hypervigilance is the worst part.
When I go into a cafe with my girls, I sit in the cafe with my back to the wall so I can see the entire area, how to get out, all those type of things. So you're always looking for threats. Even driving at times, you can be still looking for threat or a roadside bomb or anything like that. At times I still get nervous about rubbish and stuff piled up on the side of the road, because in Afghanistan they blow up and it's hard to switch that off. A couple of years ago, wife and I were driving down the Eastern Distributor and a Coke can just started rolling across the road, and I just yelled stop, 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 which I would have if we had been in a military vehicle, purely because I thought someone would put a bomb in it. And I didn't think about that. It just came out straight away. And that's one of the hardest things to deal with.
Mr. Copeland's two daughters, Nadia and Liv, are Poppy Appeal Junior Ambassadors, and he says they know more about PTSD and veteran health than anyone their age should. Mr. Copeland describes his girls and his wife as his rocks and would like to see more support for veterans' families rather than the veteran-focused support that exists now.
Even the support you can get through some of the government organisations, they are heavily veteran-focused, not family-focused. We do need to honour our fallen, but we need to support the living, because there's a lot more people living these days than there are dying in war. We're lucky. We're not losing the numbers. We were losing World War I and World War II.
Mr. Copeland freely admits to being in denial about his medical retirement from the Army and the problems that has caused for his family as he tried to adapt to civilian life. Even so, he says he would do it all again.
It's more than just a job. It's a lifestyle in a lot of ways. But yeah, I'd do it all again. I might change little things along the way, but yeah, I'd still enlist again in a heartbeat. Even today, I still feel I've got unfinished business because I left the system too early. And then other days, I look at my girls and go, no, I did the right thing.
Since his forced medical retirement, Mr. Copeland has found ways to cope with his PTSD. He competed at the inaugural Invictus Games in London in 2014 and was assistant manager at the Orlando Games. He's also a volunteer advisor to the National Centre for Veterans Healthcare, which is based at Concord Hospital in Sydney's Inner West. It provides veterans with help through an integrated healthcare model which works with the patient and, as Mr. Copeland has suggested, their family and carers in all aspects of their treatment planning and goal setting. Matt Kinnellan, SBS News.